Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Get ready for Mind Shock with Dr. Ron Dalrymple. The premier podcast in the world, bringing you hidden truths about your mind's incredible powers. Get ready to free your mind.
Everybody, welcome to Mind Shock, Dr. Ron Dalrymple, the show that will take you to the outer limits of your mind and to the inner limits, the true final frontier. Our theme for this show, as always, is evolution of the supermind, the concept that we all have within us to be far greater than we suspect and far more powerful, always waiting there for our discovery. Now, my journey on this path began many, many eons ago. After I was 17 years old, working at NASA in Greenbelt, Maryland at Goddard Space Flight Center. I was in a student program. I was going to Maryland University, majoring in math and physics. So I started at NASA in July of 67, I know a long time ago. Really fascinating time to be there with so many great minds around the world meeting to work on doing the impossible mission to put people in space, and then, of course, upon the moon. It's pretty astounding. So you think about this huge worldwide endeavor of so many idealists pursuing this and yet very pragmatic people. How could you actually make it happen? So we had physicists, mathematicians, engineers, you know, dreamers, but also builders, people who could take the impossible and make it happen. So it's really astounding time to be there. So I was there for a few years and, of course, taking courses at Maryland. I started taking psychology classes at 19 years old, which was the fall of 69. I take an intro psych and then personality theory, and I come across a number of ideas there which really kind of startled me, because there's a great similarity between the psychological principles and various principles of mathematics and physics. So one cold, blustery night, November night on a Friday, I was walking back into my dorm at Hagerstown Hall on campus at Maryland, and I asked the fateful question, what if you could use the laws of physics and math to actually explain modern-day theories of psychology? And I was hit by a thunderbolt. I was knocked over almost, knocked off my feet by just the realization and just seeing how it might apply with the mind projecting energy through space and whatnot. If the mind's projecting like sinusoidal-type waves of energy, which sounds impossible to a three-dimensional thinker, if indeed it might be possible, then it explains so many things about psychology which other theories could not even get near. I started on a long, long journey to uncover this, and the idea is that if the mind is an energy field that transcends the physical brain, not a subset of it, but transcends it, then the true final frontier is inner space, the exploration of the true powers of mind. So our mission is to take you to the true outer limits of inner space. Think about that great paradox, the outer limits of inner space. So in today's chaotic world, there's a revolution sweeping the globe about who we are, what we're doing here on this planet. The mind revolution is changing everything. In fact, that same revolution has been going on for millennia, perhaps even millions of years. Some data shows that humankind has been upon the planet for far longer than we thought. Not just 4 or 5 or 6 or 10,000 years or whatever. Perhaps even, well, I don't want to say a number here, shock a lot of people. As your show is called Mind Shock, but so many of you just startled the credulity of it all. In any case, I'm talking about different people throughout history who have made a difference in terms of reaching greater heights of thought, energy, and insight. People who have accomplished incredible things upon Earth, which really changed the course of mankind. We we're talking about what we call a genius series, like who are the geniuses in history, really helped create the world where we are today. Of course, there's been a lot of chaos going on as well, a lot of negatives going on, and people behind the scenes trying to manipulate, control, and enslave humankind, while other types or individuals trying to awaken humankind to a higher state of consciousness. The argument is that we have within us these great kernels of light and of truth, and our goal is to awaken those. It takes us in whole new directions. Now, going back to Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead, which is really a fascinating book, The Fountainhead meaning the great energy fields within us that we can tap into, a great source of energy and creativity. Her hero in the book was Howard Roark, which stands for Hard Rock. Howard Roark was a genius architect who created the future. These brilliant ideas, he created buildings and whatnot based upon astounding ideas which stunned people and shocked people. He would use, of course, nature along with it. He was thinking way, way, way beyond the people around him. But in doing so, he created also many enemies, because whenever you create something new and forward-thinking, those who come out of the woodwork to try to stop you. He was viciously attacked by a guy called Ellsworth Toohey, and others, who were threatened by his genius. Toohey represented conformity and being part of the mass mind, which also represents socialism and communism, where the group rules, what it really means the small group behind the scene rules, and the individual is crushed. The individual is pushed aside, creativity is pushed aside. You're not encouraged to be creative or an individual. You're encouraged to be part of the mass, to be enslaved as part of the masses. So these became part of so-called natural evolution of ideas, socialism and communism. Actually, they were created by very powerful people behind the scenes to really create these mass civilizations and to enslave people. They're simply different forms of enslavement. So Toohey is a writer for a newspaper who excoriated Roark for his genius, officially attacked him. One time, we had a great scene occurred where Roark is sitting at one of his building sites, watching the building recommence after he'd been attacked from many sides, and this guy Toohey walks up to him and says, he's full of arrogance, but also guilty, says to him, "What do you think of me?" The hard Roark and Roark turns his back and says, "Well, you see, I don't. I don't think of you." What's that mean? He was not concerned about the delusions and false opinions of other people. In fact, the character was probably based upon Nikola Tesla. Might well have been, because Tesla was like that. Tesla did not seek wealth or fame. He became famous due to his creative inventions, his friendships with Mark Twain and others, and his public demonstrations of various things he created. Twain demonstrations, his work in New York City, which drew much attention. He became the toast of the town for a while. He's pursued by many people. Many women were after him to marry him for his wealth and whatnot, and his fame. He's kind of a dashing figure. He's also very eccentric. He might well have been an individual with some psychological issues, like probably was, but he also had tapped into his own fountainhead within. He was wealthy from his work also with Westinghouse, George Westinghouse, and yet he gave it away later to help out his friend Westinghouse. He was under attack by J.P. Morgan, who was backed by the international banking cartel to take over his energy system. Of course, you know, when you build something that powerful and that wealthy, the others will take it away from you. They try their best to. So the more powerful you get, the more rich you get, you obtain enemies who are also far more powerful. So far from a dysfunctional madman, he was characterized as being. Tesla was a creative genius who tapped into the higher mind and could download it, download information at will, into his conscious mind, his everyday mind. So he could tap into this infinite source, this fountainhead that all people have available to them. He could tap into and download it into his conscious mind. He also followed a higher set of values to help other people. So Tesla was unique in that sense, because so many folks are more characterized by WIIFM, as they say in the business world, or what's in it for me. Many folks go by that type of credo, what's in it for me. Not how can I help humankind. But Tesla was devoted to that. He got that from his mother, who was a great idealist. So through intense concentration, he could shift into the world of abstract thought, where he saw germinal ideas, or the germination or creation of ideas, by deep concentration. Something which I discovered years ago when I was a kid studying mathematics. I'd sit for hours studying math in 7th and 8th grade and whatnot, in 9th grade, all through school. after seventh grade. They had a thing called the new math came out back then. And you shift into a different state of meditation, really, where your mind shifts frequency. So you go into the alpha state, perhaps deeper. You can access much more creative ideas. They didn't realize at the time that deep concentration is very much akin to, well, deep relaxation, meditation, even hypnosis. Where you go into a deeper state of mind, you can access the layers within and discover amazing ideas. This is what he was doing. Tesla would dwell upon his ideas around the clock, the intense concentration. In fact, he said at times he could actually see his thoughts in the world around him as if they were physical realities. The concentration was so intense. In any case, he could tap into the world of germinal ideas of abstract thought and download his ideas into a concrete world, in a concrete thought where he could build them with new inventions. He could run the inventions in his mind, his imagination, for months, and actually observe the friction worn up on the parts. Think about that. He could see so clearly. He observed the friction worn up on the parts. And back when I was in Colorado years ago, I was teaching at the University of Colorado, doing research there. A friend of mine lived in the same building I was in. He was a PhD in mathematics. And this guy was also an international grandmaster. And he could play chess in his head. And you could sit in one room, sit in a different room, not watching a board. And you'd call it the move you made. You could visualize it, and of course give you the answer. You see the board very clearly. And he'd still beat you, of course, because these guys are really amazing. So the powers of visualization were really great. This is what Tesla had, the ability to visualize way beyond the ordinary. So in any case, Tesla was metaphorized by Howard Bork, by Ayn Rand. So in real life, Tesla actually dug ditches at times, right? Just like Howard Bork did in the story, to pay the bills. So if Bork was in trouble, he wasn't proud. He'd go out and dig ditches if he had to make money until the next job came along. Tesla was the same way. At one point, he's out of work, so he's found digging ditches by a friend of his. He pulled him up out of the ditch, said, come with me, we'll get you back to doing something you're more qualified for. But in any case, these guys had no ego. Howard Bork remembers hard rock, so it was Tesla, just focused upon the higher ideals, doing whatever it took to make those ideals happen. Not involved in ego, not worried about people thought about them at all, focusing upon their work and their creativity. He's also a pragmatist, a great pragmatist with no ego. In 1994, Tesla went to work for Edison for 6 months. I said Edison had failed to listen to him, wouldn't listen to his ideas, just discounted him, kind of brushed him off. No doubt Edison was greatly intimidated by Tesla. Tesla was certainly a genius, and they all knew it, very, very clear what he's able to do. He'd worked on, in fact, some issues that Edison gave him at one point to work on some generators, some power systems. And he said, I'll give you $50,000, allegedly, according to one story, according to Tesla, in fact, if you can fix them. Well, Tesla did it pretty quickly. When he missed Edison, he was broke, of course. He just come to the States as an immigrant and said, Mr. Tesla, I'd like to collect that money. And Tesla, well, you must be kidding him. The whole thing's a joke. You understand the American sense of humor. You brushed him off, and Tesla was shocked because he couldn't believe it. He said, well, I did all this work for you. I did all this massive problem for you, and you refuse to pay me? I mean, yes, he could have easily. He's quite wealthy, but he's also very much a man of business, as well as a great inventor. Much of the inventions came from those who worked for him. Tesla was more of an individual where he tapped into a higher mind for his ideas on his own. In any case, he left Edison and went to work on his own, created a company called Tesla Lighting, but he was swindled by various investors. So think about that, swindled by various investors, because he was naive in the world of business. Now, in 1892, he had a vision of his mother dying. She traveled to Europe to see her before she might pass away. He booked passage on a ship, traveled from New York to Croatia. Right, based upon his vision he had. He felt quite certain it was real. His mother very, very close and a very powerful, intuitive connection. In case he traveled back to his homeland and got there like the night before she passed away to be able to see her and visit her one last time. She was amazed. She said, I knew you would come. Remember, in those days, they didn't have the types of communication we have today. It wasn't that long ago, really. So many years ago. what has advanced so far is amazing in terms of technology since then. A lot of it he created, by the way. His special connection with her, and she taught him how to develop his creativity at a very young age. He saw some problems around town. For example, they had a water problem one time, which he saw when he was like 6 years old. She was very inventive and creative herself. She was not educated formally, but had tremendous creativity. It taught him to think creatively and very flexibly to solve problems. So uneducated formally, she was really quite brilliant in her own right. So in any case, how does intuition work? Relative to these kinds of experiences, he later said that thought is energy and travels in waveforms, which is exactly parallel to our work in quantum field psychology. In our theory published in 2004, which first occurred to me many, many years ago, I researched it for years and did many things to arrive at that point. We analyzed all the fields of psychology, derived their basic nature, and then saw how they all fit together into a whole new paradigm explained by mathematics and physics called quantum field psychology. Well, Tell said the same thing. The thought's energy and travels in waveforms. That's one of our fundamental concepts. The thought is energy. The mind is an energy field or a constellation of energy that transcends the physical brain. In fact, Tesla said, I am but a receiver of energy sent from a core in the universe, the source of all knowledge and strengths. Very interesting. Right? Very similar to our work. At the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893, at the Pavilion of Light, he showed that alternating current worked beautifully. It worked far better than Edison's direct current. That was part of the controversy. Edison invented direct current, where the power the transmission of electricity ran down and decreased with distance because of resistance in the lines in the system. It became weaker and weaker, so they had to build power stations every mile or so, maybe less than that, in cities, to accommodate large areas. So it's very, very expensive to build and not very efficient. So Tesla's system was much more efficient, much more productive, which infuriated Edison, of course, because Edison was threatened by this. A better set of ideas. He didn't like one bit. He had quite a powerful ego. Edison was a brilliant man in his own right, but again, also very pragmatic. He was in the business. He was making a fortune by then. And so it's normal for the ego to be threatened by some new upstart coming along, like Tesla. In this case, at the Pavilion of Light, 1893, Tesla showed the world that alternating current worked far better because the energy goes out and flows back again, works in a very different way. It basically can travel vast distances without losing its power, like direct current does. Edison was defeated by this, and he hated Tesla for it. He despised Tesla more. He insulted him quite often, put him down, ridiculed and made fun of him, so forth. Again, his ego controlling his actions. Tesla also invented wireless. In fact, he was using it on a boat one time in a lake, showing some friends of his how he can control the actions of the boat with wireless, which shocked people, which now we have Wi-Fi and cell phones and whatnot, which is very common. In fact, much of the technology that evolved at NASA when I was there came from Tesla, right? In fact, NASA went way beyond that, of course, and developed vast technologies. 85% of what we have today in the world in terms of electronics and technology and so forth came from NASA. A lot of those ideas originally came from Tesla. In any case, Tesla claimed that Marconi stole from him 17 of his patents, sent out the first radio signal officially, and of course he got credit for it, and got those patents, which were worth a vast fortune. So again, Tesla was cheated. He cheated so many times because he had a great ideal to not protect himself. He didn't really care because he just wanted the ideas to come out to the world and to help the world, which is what he was concentrated on doing. In fact, Marconi visited his labs beforehand, where he he borrowed the ideas. Right? You see this quite often in the world where in the world of inventions, where people steal from each other. Also in the world of publishing, we often see plagiarism occur, where people will plagiarize somebody else and change around their work just enough and put their name on it. In fact, something they stole from the original creator. And the creator gets ripped off. Like I had some books on a website I discovered, ran across, which is over in Red China. Book he did on creativity called 8 Days of Creative Power, discovered some guy who was stolen these and was selling these on an illegal website and sold something like 2,000 per month at 20 bucks each, making $40,000 a month selling stolen material. So we sent him an email, what are you doing? And of course the email got to him and he took down his website, I'm sure put it somewhere else. So this type of stuff goes on all the time all over the world. Theft goes on with ideas and creativity. Most unfortunate, the creators of new ideas and whatnot are often the least benefited from them, at least not directly, because they get ripped off by people much more materialistic, driven by the lower motives. Of course, there always be a karmic debt. In any case, Tesla again felt cheated by what he went through. One of his research, in fact, he went to Colorado Springs, May 30th, 1899, he sent various energy waves to the Earth, very powerful, powerful waves, a wavelength of 6,600 miles long, which he claimed traveled to the other side of the globe. Colorado Springs, the other side of the globe. Now, the diameter of the Earth is from 7,800 to 7,900 miles, depending on where you measure it. We're almost at full diameter. In any case, I don't know how he calculated that, but in any case, he claims it. He's a profound effect on the outside of the world. So he's doing things that are really visionary and beyond his time tremendously. And folks, talking today about Nikola Tesla, one of the great geniuses of history. We'll get back to him in a few moments. There's a lot more coming about this. So he ties into many other creative people and how they actually arrive at their amazing ideas. Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. Be right back, folks. There's a lot more coming.
This show is brought to you by BarkBox, free box to all listeners of Mind Shock. Go to BarkBox.com/MindShock. Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity, things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything. And once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure. From outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Paradise Found 2015 is a film that sparks of intrigue about the discovery of quantum field psychology. Throw in a sexy spy story, a conflict between father and son against the backdrop of NASA, and interspersed with World War II flashback combat scenes, and you'll be surprised to discover the foundation of a whole new theory of mind. Rent or buy Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com and prepare for the explosive conclusion. That's Paradise Lost 2015. At Amazon.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
A complete mind development course, The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, helps you develop your concentration, memory, imagination, and more, all to help you program your mind towards success. But it's not a boring read. You are taken on a journey with a young man who is trying to start his own business and immerses himself into a journey of self-discovery. A powerful book that you can read again and again. Get The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple at Amazon.com. The Inner Manager at Amazon.com. Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. Talking today about some great geniuses in history. It's in our Genius series. about Nikola Tesla, covered in the past, Sir Francis Bacon. Great similarities between he and Tesla, and those we'll talk about, such as Newton we'll get into. And these folks had similar experiences and similar psychology and development, which is very, very interesting. In case Tesla had built a free energy generator, made a mistake of telling J.P. Morgan, who then alleged destroyed the tower, that's what he built in Colorado Springs, because the concept of free energy, these very powerful bankers and so forth could not allow. Right? In fact, Morgan was backed by far more powerful, far more wealthy people. He was just a front man, according to various sources. In any case, they ordered the tower knocked down, and they're about to allow free energy into the world when they could make such vast amounts of money from it by controlling it. See the same thing in monopolies throughout the world, such as in pharmaceuticals. Think about the fact that throughout history, naturopathic approaches used to heal people, often very successfully. And when Big Pharma took over in the early 1900s and so forth, they started building this vast monopoly where they crushed, according to many sources, they crushed naturopathic approaches, they crushed naturopathic doctors, they suppressed other approaches in lieu of their very materialistic approaches where they sell drugs based upon exogenous sources or sources external to the human body. That's where they make their profit. You can't make profit by selling something out of nature which they can't patent and thereby control. Well, these systems of enslavement of mankind in the modern era pertain to the creation of monopolies. Create a vast monopoly, control something, and crush all competition. Those monopolies are controlled, of course, by the monetary system, which is also a monopoly, of control, controlled by the same groups of people. So the greatest impediment to humankind's freedom right now, freedom of thought, freedom of development, really the enslavement of mankind, enslavement of minds, emotions, behavior, between the monetary systems and all these monopolies that come up around the monetary system. So all these vast industries are controlled by this huge combine. So you have the oil industry, you have the media, technology, automobiles, and so forth, manufacturing on many levels. Of course, when it reaches a certain point of development, the big guys move in to take it over. The rest develops it. It's like creativity, and they take it over for their own selfish purposes. In any case, they crushed the concept of Tesla's free energy. Couldn't have that. He also was supposed to be working on how to photograph thoughts, imagine a thought energy. So thought is energy, which projects from the mind. Cannot be photographed at some point? Well, if that's true, it probably can be. The question is how. Ted Cirios was a guy who supposedly did this. He took a photo of various thoughts, and he was able to show the photographs and whatnot. He had some other people project their thoughts, supposedly, and show the fact that thought energy could manifest on a photographic plate. Is that true? Well, I don't know. I've seen it personally. Does it make sense? Well, if the theory is correct, many things are possible which seem impossible. Remember Korean photography, which came out back in the 60s and 70s, we take photos of different frequencies of energy. So, for example, take a human hand. You can photograph that. You'll see all these different energy fields around the hand, like around the finger. So there's different lights, looks like lights around it. It's giving off different wavelengths of energy. So it's not the same image as a physical image of the hand. In fact, if you take a leaf of a plant, photograph that, and you get an image of it, it's a very colorful image, with Curlian, and then you cut off the leaf, you photograph the area, you get the same image, the same imprint, but the energy is still there. The energy field of the plant, in other words, is still there. Once you remove the physical embodiment of it, the lower frequencies of it is a physical aspect we see with our physical senses. But the energy field, the template, is still there. So the concept is that all matter has an energy template around it. The energy template guides and develops how matter forms. So every part of the human body, for example, every part of nature, is an energy template which structures the formation of that matter. The idea is that thought is energy, then thought energy also interacts with those very principles. The mind is very powerful, but she wants a person that aligns it with higher concepts and trains themselves to focus and concentrate your thoughts only upon higher things and positive things at all times, never allowing yourself to shift into negative thoughts, negative feelings, because those pull us off course. And they weaken us and take away our energy fields. They distract us. In any case, so can thoughts be photographed, well, or filmed eventually? Well, probably. At some point, you might go make films of people's thoughts, and that might be pretty shocking if they're negative thoughts and whatnot. If you know people are thinking, you might be really surprised, right? You may not want to know what people are thinking. So it's real to imagine. Well, we'll see. So the wave of the future at times looks like science fiction. Science fiction can become reality. Reality can become science fiction. So another story about Tesla. So he approached Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president of the United States, on January 5th, 1943, while we were actively at war in Germany and Japan. Wars raging in Europe and all around the world with millions of people being slaughtered. He was horrified by this. He developed a system of energy fields, he claimed, where he could put the energy field around the city to protect it from being bombed, which would then end the war. He'd build a field around, say, Washington, D.C. or Paris or wherever. It couldn't be bombed, and that would then end the war and stop the fighting. This is on January 5th, 43. FDR, I wish we had a video of that, a film of that interaction, what exactly was said back and forth. What happened afterwards? 2 days later, on January 7th, Tesla was found dead in the New Yorker hotel where he lived for 10 years. He's totally broke. A friend of his supported him for 10 years. He's doing research. He had 60 huge trunks of notebooks he'd filled up of research, of his ideas. Those all disappeared. People noted that there were many federal agents jumping around the place after he died or perhaps was killed, and all material taken. So he's also believed he might have been making a huge energy generator out of that very building he was in to replace the one that was knocked down in Colorado Springs. So he was seen as a threat, no doubt, by the government at that point, because he had a deal back in 1935 with Russia to do various research. He's also from Eastern Europe, so he might have been seen as a possible threat to the U.S. And in today's paranoid world, that makes sense also, that they would think, well, this guy could be a threat to us. We don't know what he's going to do. But he sells his ideas to the other side. Maybe he got into an argument, or maybe he went there to assassinate him, who knows what, to eliminate as a threat. But certainly, if you remember in wars, we talked about before, wars, these big combines, these massive monopolies, make billions and billions of dollars selling arms to both sides. They also destabilize and crush governments around the world to take control of them from within. So they increase their monopoly, their hegemony of control, through war and through chaos. It may breed depressions and collapses and whatnot to cause all kinds of human famine and suffering, to kill millions and millions of people to make profit, to spread their disease control around the world. It's really a satanic organization, quite frankly. And they're being exposed more and more now. It's all over the world, it's all over YouTube and whatnot, the media. What's happened to these folks? That's a huge question, what happened to Tesla. Folks are talking today about various developmental geniuses around the world and pertains to everybody, really, about how we all can expand and develop our own mind power, believe it or not. But we're coming right back, folks. A lot more coming from Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock.
Here's a fun, stimulating program that can teach you how to develop your own powers of creation. It uses a three-part mind, stimulating approach to get you to develop your own creative thinking. It will help you create a powerful self-image and helps you see how you can take creative action. You'll develop your thinking power and your skills, and you can do this in 8 days. Get Dr. Ron Dalrymple's book, 8 Days to Creative Power, on Amazon.com. Overcome your problems with the step-by-step guide. So get 8 days to creative power on Amazon.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
A complete mind development course, The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, helps you develop your concentration, memory, imagination, and more, all to help you program your mind towards success. But it's not a boring read. You are taken on a journey with a young man who is trying to start his own business and immerses himself into a journey of self-discovery. A powerful book that you can read again and again. Get The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple at Amazon.com. The Inner Manager at Amazon.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity, things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything, and once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. Talk today about our genius series, which I find really fascinating. You study different geniuses in history, you'll find great parallels between them, between their lives and how they developed, and how they evolved such incredible states of mind and creativity, often having gone through childhoods of great suffering. In any case, talking about Tesla, was he a threat to the U.S.? Was he considered to be one? Very curious, he went to FDR on January 5th, 43, and died on January 7th, mysteriously, in the New Yorker Hotel, and there were some huge number of agents, federal agents jumping around his room in the area, confiscating all his property. Very, very curious. In any case, it's believed that the banking cartel wanted to keep the war going a lot longer to sell more arms. They're making lots of money from this, hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's pretty horrifying to think that people would slaughter so many for their own personal selfish profit. Pretty astounding. And also they're trying to take back control of the banking system because some nations have thrown out their control, their hegemonic control, which is what sparked the war, according to many. So it was really the efforts of international bankers to take control back of these countries who've fallen out of alignment with their massive control. And that's the real key to the kingdom for them, is controlling the money system. In any sense, if I was a threat, they thought he might go to the other side. His creative ideas, remember, came from the fountainhead. Same as Ayn Rand's Howard Wark. Hard rock, from this deep meditative state, the higher mind. So the world of abstract thinking is a place where ideas are germinated. Remember we talked before about in mental states, we go from thinking about the concrete around us. You know, in fact, we might go down to the very initial levels, like in Piaget's theory about cognition. First level is the sensory motor area, where you first learn to identify nature and name nature. Name objects and so forth. You start to organize those in the next step. First step is from 0 to 2 years old. Then pre-operational step, you go from 2 to 7, or stage, from 2 to 7 years old, where you can rank order objects, where you can tell the, like, what's the bigger rock, smaller rocks to bigger rocks, what are bigger objects and so forth. One-dimensional thinking. Remember, you go from a naming stage to one-dimensional thinking. So it's getting mathematical already. Then you go to the next step, which is concrete operations between 7 and 11. The person can think in two dimensions. So it's like a plane of existence, right? You have a line, one dimension, right? An ordinal state versus two dimensions. Now it's more complicated. A person can code various sizes and think more abstractly, comparing different ideas simultaneously, right? Then you move to the next stage of formal operations where you can think in three dimensions or more. In fact, in metatheoretical thinking, you think often n dimensions. In mathematics, talk about n dimensions of thought, where n can approach infinity, which is unlimited. So in any case, the person develops their ability to create a cognitive field going from first 0 dimensions or the naming stage to 1 dimension to 2 to 3 and n dimensions. So this fits in with mathematical systems very interestingly, right? If you read the book called Quantum Field Psychology, published 2004, it's on Amazon. Check it out, Quantum Field Psychology. Read that book. If you're more interested now in this, well, this is the theory of everything, which explains how this works. It's quite shocking to many people. I've given the book to a lot of the biggest names in the field in psychology, and most of them kind of, you know, look stunned and kind of run away from it. Don't want to talk about it because they don't understand it. I understand that. It's difficult. She has a background in math and physics, but we try to make it easier in our films, like The Endless Question, which is on Amazon Prime, 2-hour documentary, but these concepts try to make it a lot easier. Plus, in this talk show, this great talk show, and these folks, we try to spread the ideas. So, the ideas are growing around the world, and people are waking up, and it's really a great thing to see. We need to wake up amidst all the chaos and confusion that's been generated by much lower, darker forces. So, world of abstract thinking is a place where ideas are germinated. It's a source of inspiration where a person can go to tap into these much higher ideas and get direction in your life. You can go into a deep meditative state and ask that higher power for direction in anything. It's always there talking to you. It's always there ready for you, to speak to you, to guide you. It's your higher mind. Your higher mind ties into much higher levels still. So people learn this through meditation and whatnot. In fact, I had one individual taught his kids to meditate from a very young age. By 12, 13 years old, they had their college courses laid out, believe it or not. They had already applied for scholarships to college by 12 and 13 because he taught them to be independent and think creatively. So they were mapping out their lives from that point forward. They were planning their lives and realizing they could do it. They're not dependent upon somebody else to become very creative and independent at that young age. And we all have that ability. Some sources say that a child, at a very young age, until like the age of 5 when the ego forms, is in that much deeper state of mind all the time, right? And they're very powerfully creative and can access the higher mind very directly, not realizing that most people don't, because most of us get caught up in these ego minds, which are full of delusions and fears and anxieties. And so what happens to folks who get abused and neglected in childhood, most people do, that forms various psychological disorders. And so we deal with them in psychology for many, many decades. What I got into when I discovered these ideas, trying to put it all together, we deal with folks who get off and various delusional beliefs, false beliefs, and often driven by these fixated negative emotions, fear, anxiety, guilt, depression, and so forth. And that's what really occludes or blocks the higher thoughts of most people. We're stuck in these states of mind which take us way off course. We then become self-defeating because if the mind is energy, you're creating then all these negative states, which you think and feel. You kind of blunder through life. We keep creating our own failures, not realizing we're doing it to ourselves. We've all done it. We've all done it. Nobody is obscured from that. You know, we have to learn the hard way, often the school of hard knocks. And Earth is often called the dark star, as it were, because it's filled with so much chaos and negativity because we created ourselves. So we've got to wake up to a higher state of mind, realize we need to learn to think at a much higher level, to realize we have great powers inside us and use them properly, use them always for good, never for ill. So we train ourselves not to dwell on the negative ever, developing positive thoughts, positive feelings as best we can all the time and keep learning all the time. It takes training. It sounds easy, but it's not. It takes work. In any case, here's Tesla. He's applying his brilliant ideas to the physical world to bring his inventions to help mankind. His whole goal is to help humankind, not to get rich himself, not to be powerful himself. Yet because he's an idealist and somewhat naive, he's constantly being cheated by the bankers time and time again. And many folks, like, for example, Edison, also I'm sure, was cheated a lot by different people. He spent a lot of time in court trying to protect his inventions. Became more cynical, became more angry and whatnot, no doubt. He was a pretty ruthless guy in various respects. He would, at times, electrocute dogs and other animals, even an elephant one time, to show how dangerous Tesla's work supposedly was. Trying to show Tesla's was dangerous, his was not. This was false, of course. His was also kill animals, kill electrocution. He was a pretty ruthless guy, very brilliant guy, obviously. We can understand he was locked in his ego mind, protecting his own asset base and so forth. People get lost in the world of ego, lost in the world of illusion, fighting for things which really are illusions that we create. In case Tesla had a very good and noble heart, he did not understand the avarice and petty insults of other people, because he was really beyond that. He was trained by his mother to be an idealist, and she was a profound influence upon him. In any case, he just wanted to help mankind. He had no idea how ruthless and corrupt controlling forces were. In any case, folks are talking today about Nikola Tesla and getting into the other geniuses and whatnot, that history really changed the world. We'll talk about how they developed those abilities, at least some parts of it. So in any case, folks, Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. We have a lot more coming.
Paris. Paradise Found, 2015 is a film that sparks of intrigue about the discovery of quantum field psychology. Throw in a sexy spy story, a conflict between father and son against the backdrop of NASA, and interspersed with World War II flashback combat scenes, and you'll be surprised to discover the foundation of a whole new theory of mind. Rent or buy Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com and prepare for the explosive conclusion. That's Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity. Things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything. And once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love. And you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted, licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
Quantum Field Psychology, Second Edition, is an astounding book on the new theory of mind. It is the first unified field theory that incorporates the influence of the mind and emotion on physical reality, the universe, and even other minds. It actually integrates all modern psychology with quantum physics, mathematics, Western and Eastern spiritual beliefs. It's the true bridge between science and spirituality. Get your copy of Quantum Field Psychology, Second Edition, by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, on Amazon.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ron Dalrymple and Mind Shock, talking today about our genius series, various geniuses who had history who helped change the world. It's very interesting to discover how they did it, how they tap into those deep, deep level ideas, how they tap into those higher levels of thought and creativity, because there's a great commonality among them. It's really fascinating, fascinating topic. It's been kind of an obscure area for a long time. It's a very little understood concept. That are the higher states of mind. People are really super creative, tap into the super mind. But the point is, there are ways to do it. There are scientific ways to tap into these energies to totally change your life and your children and your family and so forth. We all can really help the world in massive ways. So in any case, here's Tesla using these powers, not really fully understanding them probably, but and also being constantly attacked. He was insulted by the media. He was always being ridiculed and made fun of as a madman because those who opposed him wanted to steal his ideas, so they had to knock him down, attack him. Of course, the big powers controlled the media back then, just like now, except now it's even more so. In the case, he was constantly being excoriated and ridiculed by the media and lampooned. So he had a very thick skin, or in his case, he probably just didn't really care. He just didn't pay attention to delusions of other people like Howard Wark. He said to Ellsworth, Walter Tuohy, well, I really don't think of you at all. In any case, how is he able to access these deep ideas? You can other people do the same thing? Well, yeah. So one thing that pertains, we find in many, many people who develop these massive abilities, they become what's called a polymath in their field. Now, polymath is somebody who studies everything in a given field. So to analyze a field or break it down, like you say in psychology, you had to take all the different fields apart, look at them, what they have in common, how are they different. So you have your very first theories, you have your ancient philosophies, you went to Greece and Rome and whatnot, ancient philosophies used, and metaphysics, whatnot, going back to history, and then compared to all the modern-day psychology, from philosophy to psychology. In fact, psychology was first put into philosophy departments, back still today, no doubt, somewhat. But you look at all these different ideas in the mind, how it works, most of which are somewhat wrong, but also they have certain particles of truth. So for particles of truth, how you link them all together, how they coy together. So you're looking at differentiation. You compare one variable to another, and you do countless variables, That's a key concept of calculus, differentiation. You look at the rate of change of one variable for your rate of change of another. You break those down, you integrate them back together into new forms. Integration is the other powerful area of calculus, differentiation and integration. We'll get into that later on, talking about Newton versus Leibniz. In any case, you analyze electric fields together, you feel, and you find your way through it to create new ideas, new integrations of concepts. So a polymath, look at one field, study it, break it all down, and then compare to another field, which they also study and break down, to find areas of commonality. There's often astounding things you uncover. You understand various principles, various concepts drive both fields in different ways. They look very different, but really not. People have said to me, well, what's, how can you apply math to psychology? What's it had to do with it? Well, everything. They can do it, because mathematics is the first science of the universe. Everything is based on mathematics. The entire universe is based upon mathematical principles, believe it or not. Physics is the first application of mathematics to the physical world. You also have physical sciences and whatnot, physical chemistry, then you get to organic chemistry. And old psychology was somewhere in the middle, because it was a social science, so it is to many people. We use statistics to analyze it. But now in quantum field psychology, you don't need that, because now you can look at it in terms of the actual mathematical functions which make the mind work as energy. So we're in a whole new area here. It changes everything. And it shocks people in such a big shift. That's where they're terrified. I won't mention the names of those I gave the book to, the big famous names out there, who, you know, couldn't deal with it. I don't want to embarrass them, but it astounded me that they didn't even think about it. In any case, the polymath studies different fields, analyzes them all together, and finds the parallels between the different fields. Here's a commonality. Now, deep meditation will help you with this, because going to a deep meditative state, you block out the noise of the outside world of the ego mind and learn how to access the higher mind ideas. And often you focus on a question, like, how do I solve this issue? How do I solve this problem? Because your thought energy will direct you then to various answers, to various insights. Thought energy will focus the energy and help bring in ideas back to you. In fact, the powers of concentration are profound here. Learning how to concentrate is profoundly important to awaken these abilities within you. Concentration, very much like a magnifying glass. We take that out of the sun, and you magnify the rays of the sun to a piece of paper or wood or whatever, you can actually start a fire, right? Because the rays are concentrated profoundly. In fact, the mind is the same way. If you concentrate your mind without distractions upon certain ideas and concepts for a period of time, you focus the energy very powerfully, so you make things manifest, perhaps even materialize. So you make ideas manifest to you. We get new ideas about concepts which before were not seen. So the powers of concentration are massive. We have in the world today, people smoke pot, it makes them not concentrate. The mind jumps all over the place. Not good for concentration, right? People study, you know, they go on the cell phones all the time and look at TikTok and all this stuff, and their minds are not concentrating. They're jumping all over the place, wasting your mental energy, folks. So all these modern-day contrivances actually do not help us at all, but retard our development. Slow down our development as higher conscious beings, spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings with great powers, massive powers inside these physical bodies. It's time to wake up and use those powers for good to help transform the world and bring it back to a world of light, which has been before, according to many sources. The world has been in a much higher state before. Humankind's been around, according to some, for, again, vast, vast numbers of years, almost beyond belief. And we can get back to it now. We have to get back to it because the nuclear weapons out there and all the chaos going on, it's time for everybody to wake up and start working truly in harmony together to get rid of this past state we're in. In case deep meditation can give you vast ideas. This is what Tesla's doing. You concentrate upon ideas in his work, and he's meditating, accessing the higher mind through that concentration. So it's an amazingly simple but powerful process. You must also be open to receive answers when they come to you. It's very easy to block out what might be coming back or to be distracted and not pick it up. So when you concentrate upon things, you ask for answers, they're often coming to you, they're knocking on the door of your consciousness. If we're not paying attention, we won't get it. So we shift off and get distracted too easily, we miss that. You can see this when people get distracted, when they're using all kinds of drugs, they're using like heavy drugs, they have a lot of patients, you know, shooting up drugs, God help us, you know, all sorts of things, destroying themselves, and their minds are so distracted, jumping from place to place to place. Let's get beyond this era of drug use. Drugs are really bad for the system. They're sold by big pharmacies and whatnot, big companies make a fortune off of it. Some drugs, of course, can be good for you. Some obviously can save your lives. There's a proliferation of it now because of the power of big pharma, which is way overdone. Many drugs are not good for us. Interaction effects kill a lot of people. And of course, they retard our growth and development. So let's get beyond this era, get back to naturopathic medicine, energy healing, and super positive thought, spiritual healing, things of that nature. And we will. That's where the world is moving. Yeah. They may not like it. It's a big power to them. That's where we're going. In any case, be open to receive answers when they come to you, because it's always trying to come through. And also, you need to stay in a certain state of consciousness to make this happen. What state is that? Well, you want to be relaxed and calm. We talked before about a state of quiescence, where you just relax, you're calm, or equipoise. You might call it equipoise, where your emotions are balanced or harmonious. You feel joy, actually, all the time, because you're dwelling upon the higher power within you. Think about this. The higher power is a great resource, like an infinite wellspring of energy, right? The higher source, the fountainhead. It's this vast pool of energy inside you, wanting you to wake up. You know, the fountain of youth is inside all of us. So dwelling upon that helps to wake it up. So folks, we're going to talk a lot more about that, how we awaken those powers within, how we tap into those. It's really fascinating stuff. Check out our books on Amazon, all of our books on this type of thing. Listen to these shows. It's a great network. A lot of great shows on here. We cover all these issues. So many other folks on this network. Check out our movie, The Endless Question. It gets into these issues as well. Very, very powerful stuff. There's a lot more coming, folks. The world is waking up gradually. Thank God. It's about time it happened. Folks, thanks for being here. Dr. Ron Dalrymple and Mind Shock. Signing off. Talk to you next time. Have a great one. Take care.